Oh, sweet. Hey, how you guys doing? Good. Sweet. Hey, Forrest. Hey, Jonah. Oh, he's grabbing a stool because I don't want to pass out, so I'm going to sit down eventually. Cool. Thanks, Tanner. You're awesome. You're great. Oh, I do like your shoes. Cool. So, first, we're going to be in the Bible a lot today. We're going to be in Scripture because I don't want to rely on my own knowledge, so I did as much of this as possible. Does anybody need a Bible? I don't need all of these. Oh, sweet. Perfect. Yeah. One person yesterday raised their hand. Oh, you need one too? There you go, sir. And if not, share with someone next to you. And I'm sure we have some Bibles in the back too if anyone needs one. Cool. So if you guys have been with us for the last couple weeks, we have been in our series Advent. And like Ryan said, I'm kind of wrapping it up today. But Advent. So a couple weeks ago, it was pretty cool. Ryan, we got to do a Be Still message where we literally just like even like practiced it in the service where we literally were just quiet for a couple minutes, which was awkward for some of us. But and not just quiet just to be quiet, but quiet to really hopefully turn some of the noise down in our lives and be able to hear God a little bit more clearly. And then last weekend, I thought was super cool. We did something that we've never done before. We did like three mini messages, all broken up with like songs in between each one. We did one on wonder, one on mystery, and one on awe, where we literally just got to sit in awe of like God and like some of the insane things that he's done through creation and just like his magnificency. That's not really a word, but so did anybody get an opportunity the last couple weeks to actually practice these things? I mean, that's kind of why we're doing this. We want to create this Advent time, this Advent season, which, by the way, is where we like reflect back on the birth of Christ. We want to create this kind of environment and this feeling for you guys. Did anybody get an opportunity to really be still the last couple weeks? Sweet. One hand. Good. One of you is doing your job. I did. And actually, thanks to Johnny Lutz, I made Instagram photo of the week, hashtag just saying. On the back of your weekly, me and my wife this last week, we got the opportunity to go hike Squaw Peak. I'd never done it before, but man, we got to the top, and if you have a weekly, like, it's insane how gorgeous it was up there at the top of that mountain. We really got to get up there and be still and just look at his creation and literally just sit in awe. I mean, again, if you have a weekly, which you should pick one up every week because it has a very important information on it, you could just see how incredibly beautiful it was. That was probably one of the most peaceful moments I've had in a really long time. And that's what our last message in this Advent series is going to be about, is peace. When Ryan and Johnny asked me to speak, I was nervous at first, but I was excited to talk about the peace that God brought to the world through the birth of Christ, the peace that he brought to us. It's insane to think that God sent his son, put on flesh, and brought peace between us and God, brought peace between man and man, and brought peace between man and himself. But then as I was kind of reading through the story and the birth of Christ, I realized like God's creative, but he brought peace to the world through some really strange situations. There's some really awkward and uncomfortable interactions and through some really, it seems, unplanned and unorganized situations as well. There was danger and there was like a lot of things, obviously, that Jesus went through his entire life, yet he is still the Prince of Peace. Like God used chaos to bring peace to the world. And I want you guys to kind of see this. And like I said, we're going to be jumping around this thing a lot, so bear with me. We're going to start off in Luke chapter 2. We're going to kind of walk through a couple scenes in the birth and early life of Jesus. So Luke chapter 2, if you guys want to flip there. We're going to start in verse 6. Luke 2, verse 6. This is what it says. It says, while they, and we're talking about Joseph and Mary, Jesus' parents, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I don't know if you guys all know this, but a manger is a feeding trough. Like, a manger is like what animals eat out of, like pigs, and I don't know what else eats out of a feeding trough, but like, I don't have a kid, not yet, My wife's back there. Not anytime soon, apparently. But I don't have a son. I've never given birth to a son. Well, I'll never give birth to a son. But I've never had a son. If I did have a son, if I received a child and we had him and we wrapped him in cloth and the only place I had to set him was a giant dog food bowl, like something's gone wrong. You know what I mean? Like something did not go according to plan. I am a planner. I am not having peace in this time. And that's, again, just a little glimpse. We're going to skip down to verse 25. Sorry. Luke chapter 2, 25, and this is what it says. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, we'll pause there. This is kind of a weird situation. Like, this dude's about to, like, grab this child and praise God for something. Again, I don't have a son, never have. If I did, I'm pretty sure my wife would be pretty attached to him. So if someone, like, kind of grabbed him out of his arm, I haven't seen this happen. I've seen someone try to take a French fry from her, and it is not a peaceful situation. Sorry. I'll move on. Here we go. this is what he prays God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and turned and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. Not super peaceful. And to be a sign that will be spoken against. Doesn't give me peace. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. That would probably stick with me. But so a couple years ago, I actually got to witness an interaction pretty similar to this. I was at Chandler Mall at the food court. I don't know if you guys have been there, but I was kind of sitting at a table and kind of playing out in front of me was the scene that was happening. This lady was sitting over here and she was eating her lunch, minding her business, and she had like a baby in a stroller right here. She was kind of rocking the stroller. And then there was this older lady that a couple different times kind of like was pacing back and forth and like almost walked up to the table and then walked away. She was a little older, she looked frazzled, and I was sitting back, this is my entertainment, you know what I mean? I'm just watching as I'm eating my lunch, and she finally goes up to this lady and sits down, and she's like, listen, I've never done this before, so I don't really know how to say this, but I need to know, are you a believer in God? And the lady sitting there, and she's first startled by the presence of this other lady, she's just eating lunch by herself, and she does finally answer like, Yes, I believe in God, I'm a believer. And so the lady's like, okay, she seems a little bit relieved. She's like, okay, that's good. She's like, listen, again, I've never done this before, so I don't know how to say this, but God's told me something, and he told me I need to come and tell you. So the lady's, again, a little weirded out. She doesn't really know what's about to happen to her, but she knows it's coming. So the lady's like, God told me that your son right there is going to be a great man. He's going to grow and he's going to do incredible things for the kingdom of God. And this lady's sitting there and I'm back here like, what? Like, what is going on? At this point, I'm like a pretty new believer. So I've read the story before. I know it happens like in this book, but I didn't realize like it still happened like 2,000 years later. Like people are talking to each other like this. So I'm just like freaked out and I'm sitting there and this lady, like it's like a weird interaction. I don't really know what happened. My mind was being blown. So I think I missed a little bit, but then she just thanked the lady like, I don't know, what do you say to that? She was just, you know, like, oh, thank you for, like, speaking into my life. Like, thank you for being obedient. And the lady, like, they, you know, they hugged or whatever. And they're like, okay. And then the lady gets up and she starts walking away. And she's like, no, he's going to be great. She's like, but don't screw him up. And she, like, walked away. And the lady's face was like, it hit her. Like, she's like, oh, I have to take care of this guy that is supposed to be something cool for the kingdom. She just, like, that is what stuck with her. Like, that is what stayed in her head was, oh man, like I don't want to mess this up. So I immediately got on my phone and I called my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and I was like, babe, you're never gonna believe what just happened. Like, this stuff still happens. I was freaked out. And she was on the phone, she's like, you know, this is da 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 da. But the thing that stuck with her was like, I don't want to mess this up. And I have a feeling, well, at least if someone like looked at me and said like, a sword's gonna pierce your soul too. Like, that's gonna stick with me, and that's gonna make me a little uneasy for a while. Anyways, that's the only point I'm making, and I just really wanted to tell that story because I've never told anyone before. So, leave a bookmark there. We're gonna flip over, hopefully not scroll over. If you are using your phone, just don't get distracted by it. Matthew chapter 2. We're gonna come right back to Luke, so please leave a bookmark there. We'll be right back there in a second. We're gonna be in Matthew chapter 2. Now, this story obviously points to the chaos and the danger and the mourning that was a direct result of the birth of Christ. And here it is. So it's in Luke chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 13. Luke chapter 2, verse 13. We're talking about Joseph and Mary again. Jesus was just born. And it says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, I like to say Maggie sometimes, so I'll probably say Maggie the next time I read it. He was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Maggie. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. I mean, this is obviously one of the most unpeaceful and unsettling times in Joseph's life. I mean, he's a man who has a wife and a child. I mean, I can't imagine trying to go to sleep every night with the fear of someone coming and trying to murder my child. Like, he had to flee to Egypt and probably was looking over his shoulder everywhere he went. This wasn't a very peaceful, it was a very unsettling time for him. And then, obviously, the chaos and the mourning that came from Herod sending out guys to murder boys 2 years old and under in Bethlehem. I mean, it seems like the coming of Christ, the birth of Jesus, brought more chaos and mourning and turmoil than it did peace right away. And I feel like it's not until Jesus can start reacting to these situations. Once Jesus is old enough to speak and start reacting to like chaotic stuff that's going around him, that's when I feel like we start to get a glimpse of the peace that Jesus had. And I feel like the peace that we can have too in every situation. So we're gonna flip back over to Luke 2. Like I said, all over the place, apologize. Actually, I don't apologize. It's the Bible, it's great. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Luke 2, 41. Here we go. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. We'll pause there. I don't know, maybe it's because it's like Christmas time, but this completely and totally reminds me of Home Alone. Anybody else? I mean, kind of the opposite. And I feel like, honestly, like Kevin had it easy. Like, his parents like left him at home while they went on vacation. So he had like the comfort of his home, and he had like tools and resources to like fight off the bad guys. Not that there was bad guys trying to get Jesus, but Jesus was left on vacation in like this foreign place. His parents had traveled for a day. You'll see in a second that he was alone for 3 days. Like, I know a lot of 12-year-old boys, and if we left them in a city by themselves for 3 days, like, they might not be there when we get back. You know what I mean? Like, this is a very stressful time. For me as a 12-year-old, if I was left in a city by myself for 10 minutes, like I probably would have started freaking out. And the way Jesus reacts when his parents do finally find him, I feel like gives us a little bit of insight of the peace that he has and the peace that he brought. So let's pick it back up, verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And then this is Jesus' response. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying. Like, this is a 12-year-old kid that had been alone, probably hadn't had much food or water or anything to survive. Like, he's just chilling, hanging out with these older guys and talking about God, talking about his father. Like, this is a completely unpeaceful situation. And I feel like his reaction, even as a young man, gives us some insight to how we should face these stressful situations. And obviously, as Jesus grows up, he goes through a lot of this. He goes through a lot of situations and a lot of things that should cause turmoil and should cause stress, but he always had this peace about him. And one of the most stressful, I feel like, and crazy situations that we see Jesus face is when he's being arrested. He's being arrested and he knows what's coming. He knows he's about to be taken in front of a court, wrongly accused, brutally beaten, and eventually crucified. And the way he reacts to the people that are coming to take him away, again, I feel like just gives us a better idea of how we should react to these situations. I mean, not that any of us will face a situation quite like this, but we're in Luke chapter 22. So flip over a few pages to your right. Luke chapter 22, verse 47. It's amazing to see how Jesus just doesn't allow his circumstances to affect his peace. Again, Luke chapter 22, verse 47. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked Judas, "Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear, which is probably more like what we would react. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." I feel like I would definitely be more like Peter in this situation. If someone's like coming for me or coming for one of my friends, I wish we could just like carry swords. Like, I wish that was normal. But you know what I mean? Like, I'd definitely like whip out my sword and start cutting ears off. Like, and it's just crazy. Like, Jesus's reaction to this, like, he reaches out and heals the person that is about to take him and have him beaten and have him crucified. Like his genuine just like peace and understanding of God's will, like, is something that I feel like we can attain. And I get it, like, he's Jesus, like, he's also God. So of course, like, he's perfectly aligned, and of course, like, he has peace at all times. But another person in the Bible that I feel like really, really got it was Paul. Philippians 4:13, I'm sure a lot of you guys know what that is. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I feel like this is probably one of the most misused verses in the Bible. No joke, like, I've seen like a scene like a dude like crush a beer can on his head and like point to his tattoo that says Philippians 4:13. Like, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Like, that's not at all the context of what it's supposed to be. Like, not even close. Like, Paul's contentment is what he's talking about. And you guys don't have to flip there. It's only a couple of verses. But again, in Philippians 4:13, like, Paul's contentment no matter what the situation is remarkable. He says in verse 12 and 13, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Like, no matter what the situation, like, I feel like we can be content in everything. We can have peace permeate, and we can have an abundance of peace in every aspect of our life when we're focused on the right things. And if I'm honest, I was a little bit convicted of this as I was preparing for it. I feel like God knew that I was going to get on stage and say some of these things to you. So Saturday morning was probably one of the most, for me, one of the most like stressful and chaotic and like crazy times of my life. And I feel like God kind of brought me through that so that way I can stand in confidence in front of you guys. But Saturday morning, well, let's back up. Last week, I was preparing for this message, and I honestly like started getting a little bit nervous. I'm a little bit anxious when I'm like on stage, like speaking in front of people. So I started getting a little bit nervous, and I thought to myself, sometimes when I think to myself when I'm a little nervous, like what's the worst that could happen? I was thinking like the worst that could happen, like I could trip on my way up and like bust my face open and not be able to speak at all. I don't know, you know what I mean? Or like another thought that kind of went through my head thanks to Cameron when I was singing back there is like, oh man, what if like my mic's on like during worship and like I'm singing and like just super, super embarrassed. And which would happen to me, by the way, because I feel like I'm always putting myself in really embarrassing situations. So this was like a legitimate fear for me. In fact, like Friday, as I was like preparing for this, I was listening to some music. And I was listening to Lecrae. It's a song called Fever, and it's got like this kind of like reggae vibe to it. I don't know, it's got, do you know it? Okay, cool. It's kind of got like this cool vibe. So I'm like sitting down listening, sitting in my dining room, and I start, I'm a dancer, by the way, for those of you that don't know, so this is like my comfort zone. And I'm like sitting there, and I'm like kind of dancing, and I stand up, and I'm just, I don't know, I'm just loving the song, and I just start busting out into it, and I have this weird feeling, and I turn around, and my sliding glass door is open, and one of the maintenance guys is sitting in his golf cart watching me. No joke, just like staring at me. I put myself in these situations all the time, just like staring at me, super creepy. And like, it gets worse. And I look a little closer, and he's got a camera phone out, and he's videotaping me. No joke, I'm not kidding. Somewhere out there on social media, it could be on Instagram, Facebook. If you find it, please don't share it. Don't like it. Don't support this man because he, oh man, super, super embarrassing. Anyway, that was a legitimate fear for me coming on stage. Like I could easily embarrass myself. It happens often. And then Saturday morning happened. I'm a planner. I like having things in order, especially if I know I'm gonna be like doing something in front of people. I like to know that I know what I'm about to say. And I'm super busy, so honestly, I didn't get as much time to write this during the week as I'd like to, but I had Friday night, and I like got it all out. I was like, yes, this is exactly what I'm gonna say. I finished kind of late Friday night, and I was like, it's okay, Saturday morning, I'll wake up, I'll drill it, I'll get into my head. I know this stuff because I believe it. Like I'll be okay. And I wake up Saturday morning, and I don't know much about computers, but mine crashed, I think, and or the power went out. I don't know what happened, but I woke up, and everything was gone. All the preparation that I did for this sermon was gone. And in that moment, I was faced with a stressful, chaotic situation for me. And it was rough, and I had to keep reminding myself, this is kind of what I'm supposed to be talking about, like, try to stay peaceful. I wanted to be like Peter and start cutting some computer's ears off, you know what I mean? Like, I was angry, I was frustrated this was happening to me. And the only reason I made it on stage yesterday was honestly because I know who my God is. I did frantically type up as much as I could, but I genuinely had a peace in that situation because I know who God is. I feel like one of the best stories that kind of explains my point in Scripture is definitely when Jesus is being confronted by the devil himself. Jesus is put in the situation, and I mean, talk about like a stressful, chaotic situation. And Jesus' response to that, I feel like, gives us an insight of how we can achieve this peace that we're called to. So if you guys want to flip to it, we're also in Luke still. Luke chapter 4. So you might flip back a few pages. Luke chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man does not live on bread alone.'" The devil led him up to the high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It says, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Like, Jesus's response to these stressful situations, which we may never face, like the devil face to face tempting us with things, but Jesus' response to it, I feel like, again, gives us a sign of how we're supposed to react when chaos confronts us. He quotes scripture, like, back to the devil. That is where his peace comes from. His peace comes from his knowledge of God. And the verse that I really want to highlight today, the way I feel like we can experience this peace, and I want you guys to experience this peace because it's amazing. The way we can experience this peace, I feel like, is found in 2 Peter 1:2. You can flip there if you'd like. It's a few books over. It's just one verse. But 2 Peter 1:2 says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Like, this is what I want you guys to take home today. Like, when we know who God is, when we know that God is for us, when we know how much he loves us, when we know how in control of every situation he is, when we know that he can redeem anything that's happening in our lives, when we know that, I feel like the natural reaction is just to have peace. I don't know if any of you guys have any friends like this. I know I have a couple friends like this where I feel like I know a lot about them. In fact, I know a lot about them, but I feel like they maybe don't really know much about me. Any of you guys have a friend like that? And not because, like, maybe you're shy, not because, like, you don't open up, but because, honestly, they do a lot of talking. Like, I have friends that talk a lot, that share a lot, that I know what they're struggling with. I know what they did yesterday. I know what they ate for lunch last Tuesday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know a lot about them, but they don't really know much about me, and I feel like that's kind of reflective of how a lot of our relationships with God are. Like, you know, maybe you're good at sharing with God. I mean, God knows everything that you're doing anyway. But maybe you don't know much about him. And I feel like we need to be in his word. I'm telling you, if you know God, if you know who he is, if you spend time with him, like, that's how you get to know your friends. You spend time together. If you really spend time, especially during this Advent season, just like knowing who God is and what he's done for you, and I feel like we can have peace when those stressful and crazy times kind of pop up in our lives, which I know a lot of you are going through now. Finals are next week. Like, I get it. You know what I mean? When you're faced with those things, yeah, I know. I feel like a lot of you guys are like, yeah, finals are next week. Like, but the thing is like, you can have peace even going into your final because you know who your God is. And that's what I'm challenging you guys with today, is to get in his word. And maybe this season is hard for you. Maybe this Christmas season is difficult for some of you because you guys realize, like, how broken your family is. Maybe this season is the first season you have where your parents aren't together anymore. You know what I mean? I don't really know what you're going through, but I know that there's peace out there for you, that there's peace through the knowledge of God. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I'm gonna invite the band back up. We're gonna close with one last song. That's my prayer. That's my hope for you guys this week and during this Advent season, to find peace in the knowledge of God, that when you know who your God is, peace will overcome any circumstance and any situation that you face. I'm going to pray over you guys, and then the band's going to do one last song. God, thank you so much for today. God, thank you for this season of Advent, that we get to remember that you sent your son, Jesus, born as a baby, taking on flesh to bring peace to this world. God, I don't know what everyone's dealing with. I don't know what everyone's going through, but I know that stressful times arise in this season a lot, God, and I just pray that we would lean on your knowledge, on understanding of who you are, and I pray that if there's someone in this room that maybe doesn't know much about you and is curious for more, God, I pray that they would find one of us after the service and not leave here today without at least asking a question, God, getting some clarity. Because when we know you, when we truly know you, your peace surpasses all understanding, transcends all understanding, and permeates any circumstance. We love you so much, God, and we thank you for today. It's a new day.